Okay, so I think we left off in the middle of something. For Pesach, I don't remember what we left off in. Eri, right? I think we left off in Eri. Okay, so let's just recap for a minute where we're up to. So we're trying very, very hard to define precisely what's a Kli Rishon and what's a Kli Sheni. Why do we even care what a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is? It's a big machlokes Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say we don't really care too much because there's Bli and everything. But according to those Rishonim, which is probably the Ikar because of the Bli Paskin, that the Bli is really a reserved only for Kli Rishon, and it's important for us to know what exactly is a Kli Rishon, what's not a Kli Rishon. So the Rishonim had a major discussion about the status of Irim. You know, hot liquid is being poured from a Kli Rishon onto a Kli Sheni, so we're not quite sure, is that considered to be in transit, is that considered to be Kli Rishon, is that typically Kli Sheni? So we highlighted there are really three different shittas in the Rishonim about this. The Rishbam, the Rabbein Tam, and then somewhere, Yesh Befarshim, some anonymous places in Zvachim somewhere. Maybe the shittas are real, maybe. So we said that, according to the Rishbam, so pretty much Iri is not Mavashal altogether. Even though it's not Mavashal, doesn't mean it does nothing. Rishonim pointed out, at least it's Mavliya, the Klipa. But in terms of the world of Bishal, namely in the realm of Bishal Deraisa, Bas B'cholav, in the realm of Bishal B'Shabbos, things of that nature, it's not Mavashal at all. Then we saw Rabbi Natam who said it's not true, that it's Mavashal Kadei Klipa, similar to the way it's Mavliya Kadei Klipa. And then we had some Rishonim, the Yesh Mefarshim, who went even further. He said that maybe it's Mamashek Kli Rishon. It's Mavashal Agam, it's the same as any other Kli Rishon. So the question is, do we have any rayas? Any gemaras that can shed any light in this? So there are a few rayas that the Rishonim discuss. We'll try just to highlight a little bit what some of the rayas are, what some of the issues are. So a lot of the discussion revolves around a gemara in Maseches Zvachim. The gemara is talking about Marika Ushtifa. So with those in the notes who are following along, so it says Shtifa there, it spelled it wrong. So Shtifa is with a test, not with a tough. It just irked me because it's the Pasuk in Chumash. So Marika Ushtifa Mamaya, I didn't write the spelling of the note, that's for sure. So Marika Ushtifa is a parsha that we just read about way back in Parsha Tzav. Sounds like it was a long time ago, only because two Shabbos and one Pesach, but it wasn't that long ago. That there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Marak Peshutaf Mamayim, if you cook, kutch him in a kli, so then you have to get rid of the bliya. So the Torah says, Marak Peshutaf Mamayim. So the Gemara Masech HaZvachim has a discussion, what's the din if you don't actually cook in the kli? What if you eat with a secha reiskin? What if you pour hot water from, let's say, pour hot the kutchim soup? So you're cooking up a soup of katas, and you pour some of the super chatas into a bowl. So what's the din? Do you have to do Marika Shtif on the bowl or not? So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that yes, that even though you didn't actually cook in it, but Larabos, whatever, Vasha Mavusha, whatever it is, Larabos, even Irla Secher Reiskin. So the Gemara does have this drasha in the realm of Kachim. So it's hard to tell whenever you have a din Marika Shtif in the realm of Kachim, you're never quite sure, is this the rule or the exception to the rule? So here the Gemara sheds a little bit more light on it, because the Gemara discusses the following issues when it comes to Marika Shtifa. The Gemara says the classic case of Marika Shtifa is what we call Bishal Ubaliyah. It means I'm cooking something in the Kli. So I'm mamish doing a Maisa Bishal in the Kli, and there's a Bli in the Kli and Shoy. So the Gemara starts to split and say, what would the din be if you did a Bishal without a Bliya, or if you did a Bliya without a Bishal? What would a Bishal without a Bliya mean? So let's say you have a big oven, and you stick some food inside the oven, leaving out Zay issues, and you mavashal b'sof ha'kli. So you did a bishal inside the kli. On the other hand, nothing touched the walls of the kli. So that's a bishal b'li b'liya. So the Gemara wants to know, would the din of Marika Shtif apply to a bishal b'li b'liya? Then the Gemara on the flip side says, what would the din be if you have a b'liya b'li bishal? And what's an example of a b'liya b'li bishal? So of all cases, the Gemara quotes is, Iyul Asecha Reishchen. So the Gemara says that if you pour hot kutchum soup onto a bowl, that's an example of b'liya b'li bishal. So the Gemara then wants to know, can we compare the two? Just as b'liya b'li bishal requires mikvah shtifa, does bishal b'li b'liya also? Maybe the two are different. That's the kutchum, that's the zvachim dimension of the soup. So we want to focus on the fact that the Gemara calls Iru l'secha reischin a b'liya b'li bishal. So some of the Rishonim get really, really excited about this. Does that b'liya b'li bishal really? There's no Bishal. So which Rishon is really, really happy with that line? The Gemara? Obviously who? Rishbam is really, really happy. Because, hey, that's a believable Bishal. It's exactly what I've been telling you. The Ir L'Secha Reishchin can't really create a Bishal. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a little bit harder to read that Gemara because there is a little bit of a Bishal taking place. According to the Tizen Zvachim, there's an entire Bishal taking place. So it's kind of hard to understand why the Gemara calls that believable Bishal. Unless, as Tizen suggests, the Gemara meant as follows. The phrase b'liya b'li bishal doesn't mean that no bishal was taking place. What it means is the kli is not the one that's responsible for the bishal taking place. If you cook in a kli rishon, so then the kli is participating in the bishal. So that's called bishal u'bliya b'vasachas. When you eat the Secher Reishin, it's called the Bliya Blo Bishul because the Kli is not doing the Bishul. There is a Bishul taking place, but the Koach HaBishul is coming from the original pot of soup. But in terms of the bowl is Taka, a Bliya Bli Bishul. So maybe this Gemara has absolutely no relevance to our discussion. So we thought it was a great Gemara. The Gemara calls it Bliya Blo Bishul, but we're not even sure that has any significance in it. So that's the end of that rabbi. So then the Rishonim bring on to go on to another right. It's taken from the end of the second paragraph of Pesachim. But the Gemara is discussing a sugya of our first is challah. The din is that you only chayv in challah if you have lechem. If you have a mixture of flour and water that was somehow prepared, cooked up or something in some way, not derech lechem, that's not derech hafiyah, that's not considered to be a mechayv of challah. So the Gemara has a machlekes atanoim. What's the din if you take flour and water and you cook it together and then you subsequently bake it? Should I say, but once it was cooked, so it's overdone, there's no chiyuv al-chala, and the chiyuv al-chala is never going to kick in later, or do I say, no, the cave of the hada afye, hada havle lechem, that means maybe touches a little bit on yesh bishlach or fiyah, maybe not, but the Gemara does quote machlokes atanoim, you become rechayv al-chala the second time around, when you're doing a fiyah post the bishul. So we have a paskin, rubidu rishon paskin, that becomes chayv al-chala. So even though it may have been fully cooked, I'm just cooking boiling water on the fire for a week, it doesn't matter. Once you further put it into the oven, that's considered to be, and you bake it up, that's considered to be a pas gomer, that's chayv and chal. That's what we paskin. To such an extent we paskin like that, we would make a mitzvah on that, we'd be mafish chalam with a bracha, we bench on it, we have mitzvah with a bracha, we have no qualms, we have no questions, that's considered to be absolutely pas gomer. What do we have, of course, that's an example of this? That's a bagels. Bagels are mamish dam. Bagels are cholot shechakach chmisa l'tanur. So we paskin belishim sofik that is chayv and chal. But there was one tanur who disagrees. So within that one tanur who disagrees, the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. Now what would the din be according to the one tanur who says that putting it into the oven subsequently is not going to do the trick? Once the flour is disbasha, once it's overdone, it's potter from chal. So the Gemara says that din, according to that tanur that we don't accept, it doesn't make much of a difference whether you had a big boiling pot of water and you put the flour into the pot of water, or vice versa. If you had a bowl of flour and you pour boiling water from a pot onto the flour, it does make a difference. If you hold like that tana that we don't accept, it doesn't matter whether the flour is on top, flour is on the bottom, hot water on top, it's all the same thing. So come to Rishon and say, wait a second, why exactly is it all the same thing? According to the Rashbam, this is very, very difficult to understand. According to the Rashbam, why exactly is it all the same thing? If you're pouring hot water onto the flour, if the Rashbam holds what? No. The Rashbam holds it's never really mizbashel, nothing really happens to it, so then that's a tremendous difference. If you pour the flour into the pot of boiling water, then I understand, according to that Tana, what is no chiyuv chala. But the other way around doesn't seem to make any sense. And the evidence is even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't make any sense. Because even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that if you pour the boiling water onto the flour, so maybe the outermost part of the flour gets nisbashel, but that's a minuscule amount. If the rest of the flour doesn't get cooked up, so then you got 50,000 pounds of flour in there that are never cooked, so then why should it be potter from chal if you subsequently bake it? The only Rishon that makes any sense is the Yesh Mefarshim and the Tosfos, who say that Iruy is Mamish Mevasha Bakulo, so it's Mamish tantamount to putting it into a pot of water. So Tosfos kind of leaves us hanging. Tosfos says, neither according to the two more conventional Shitas, Ashbam and Benatam, the regular Rishonim, we don't really understand what in the world that Gemara Pesachim is talking about. Unless you can salvage it according to Benatam with the following. Says Tosfos, maybe according to Benatam in Kopot, it's a little or kimta kind of a case. Get exactly the right amount of dough, 43 and a fifth, whatever it is, the exact amount of dough that you need to be chayv and challah. Mamish to the molecule. And then you go ahead and you pour some boiling water onto it. So true according to Benatam, 95% is not going to get cooked up because it's barely mivash, it's only mivash with the klipa. Barchash klipa will get cooked. A little bit of klipa that's going to get cooked is now no longer mitzarev to the shir isa. So mainly you don't have a chiyuv challah. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not so bad. It's not crazy according to Rabbeinu Tam. You got to touch up and give a wild case, a little kimtzum, a dochuk, but at least you have something to work with. According to Rashbam, we have mamash nothing to work with. So that Gemara, Masechet Pesachim, again, it's hard to bring raya brewers from that Gemara. We don't pass like that whole Gemara, but we don't pass like it on technical grounds, on Ruchas Chala grounds. But in terms of the rules of Iroi, they sound like it's everyone agrees to those rules of Iroi. It sounds like Ira doesn't really do the trick. Doesn't really, doesn't, I'm sorry, it sounds like Ira really does do the trick. Ira really, really is Mavashel. Ira is Mavashel Bakula, or at least Chach is Mavashel Vedei Klipa. So we have a few Gemaras floating around. Again, we have Gemaras and Sachim and the Gemaras, and the second break of Sachim and the Gemaras and Zvachim. We have a lot of Gemaras that are talking about the Smachlegs, about these issues, and Shabbos. At the end of the day, there's no absolute clear, conclusive answer to this question, whether Ira is really, truly Mavashel, not Mavashel, etc. How do we paskin halach in this three way machlokes? So nobody paskins like the Rashbam. Nobody that I know is going to be making like the Rashbam to make tea and shop. Crazy. You're going to take a tea kettle and pour water onto a tea bag. You can't do that. Nobody follows the Rashbam. But does that mean that we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam? Does it mean that we paskin like the other day in Tzvus? So the Shach and this machlokes is a split. The Shach is Megil. Shach says he thinks that Tikra Din is like Rabbeinu Tam. It's only with Asher to take Klipa. And that's when the Mishnah Berurah goes along with the Shabbos also. He assumes that it's bad news. The Mishnah Berurah says to make tea on Shabbos for pouring water from Tikkun onto tea bag is a deraisa, but it's only a connect Klipa deraisa. I mean, so it's not Mavasha the entire tea bag. Others are not so sure. Others think maybe it'll be more of a problem. Maybe it's Mamsha Vasha Bakulo. Man of community, at the end of the day, it's also Minatar anyway. Chatzashia, no, it's also anyway. So what's the difference whether you're passing like the Riyah or whether you're passing like Rabbeinu Tam? So the Chapin of Kamina, let's say you want to pour boiling water onto something on Shabbos that's surrounded by a bottle. So you have milk that's inside a bottle, and the bottle is, and the milk wasn't cooked, whatever. The rice, a shayla. So you want to pour the hot water over the bottle. So what's the din? So if you hold like the Rashbam said, the Gomor, you hold, pour it even not onto the bottle, pour it directly onto the milk. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it should be mutter. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only Vasha Kedei Klipa, but the Kedei Klipa is the bottle. So the melt. I mean, in theory, it could be Bishla on plastic. It's got to be a lot hotter for it to melt the plastic. So the Bishla, whatever Bishla is taking place, is meaningless because whatever's inside the Kedei Klipa is not reaching the point of Bishla. But if you hold like the Re, like the third day in Taisis, in Zvachim, Yesh Befarshim that says that pouring hot water from a Kli Rishon is tantamount to putting into a Kli Rishon, it's Mashra Vashra Makulo, so you wouldn't be permitted to take a bottle of raw milk and uncooked milk, put it into a pot on the fire. That would be a Chashash Bishul Deraisa. So just as you can't put it into the pot, you wouldn't be able to pour from the tea kettle onto the milk either. So again, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be make a Mikra Din, and not everyone agrees. Some said maybe we should be more Chayshesh for the biggest Machmir, and that's the Vashra Makulo. Yes, the truth is the Shalom may be mutter on other grounds. Right? It may not be yet. I'm just trying to over-dramatize it a little bit, right? Just to highlight this idea. When we learned Masechta Shabbos, so we pointed out that even though we don't accept the Rashbam, there's a further question about can we at least accept the Rashbam b'diavad, the famous Maaseh with the cup of tea. We have the Magen Avraham says in the Shabbos, whenever you have a machlokes, whether you're allowed to do something, so even though our minig is not to do it, but b'diavad, you would be permitted to eat the food. I mean, since the whole issue of Maaseh Shabbos is only a knas midrabanan, so we say sveka drabanan lekula. As long as there's any real viable shukah that holds that mutter do lechatchila, the knas b'diavad wouldn't apply. So the question is this considered to be a viable shita? Is the Rashbam still considered to be a viable shita? So the Chazon Ish writes that he thinks that this Rashbam is already outvoted, that nobody really follows this Rashbam. We weren't 100% sure, right? We had other questions, right? Back and forth, right? Whether we necessarily reject the Rashbam. At the time, I told the story that years ago, when the Bracha was at somebody's house for Shabbos, and by mistake, one of the daughters made a cup of tea. She took the water mamash from the urn, poured it directly from the urn onto a tea bag. So he asked me a shout at the time, so what should we do with the tea? Can we drink the tea? So I said at the time that according to the Rashbam, it's not mutter to do it. And since the Magen Avraham says that whenever you have one sheet that it says that's mutter to do it, so with the average, you're allowed to lie in the sheet, you're allowed to drink the tea. That's why I never heard the Chazon Ish. And I heard the Chazon Ish, but not the particular Chazon Ish. So I never heard of the Chumrah. I thought that the Mikra Din should be okay, but the average based on this Rashbam. So I remember the father at the time said to me, he doesn't like to live his life with the Eved, he's going to spill out the tea. So kachas, I spilled out the tea. But, so a few years later, somebody called me about this family for shidduchim, not for the girl, for somebody else in the family, for a shidduch. So I said, you know, I know the family a little bit, I'm going to tell you the following story. I said, I'll tell you how machmir and mitzvahs the parents are. I said, the father once said to me, he doesn't really want to live his life with the Eved. I don't know whether they ever got married, I have no idea. But that was the one line that stood out. So years later, at Chalish Das, you have to give him that psach, because when I heard about this Chazon Ish, so I realized, oh my goodness, maybe I passed it incorrectly. The good news was that the guy didn't listen to the Tzach anyway, threw the tea out. But the bad news, I felt bad that maybe I'd gone against this Chazon Ish. And then when we got a little bit older, then I realized that there are others who also questioned the Chazon Ish. That was last year, we spoke about this. Anyway, not for now. Yeah, that's heard another Chazon Ish, right. According to the Chazon Ish, it would be Yasser anyway, right. It was on at the time, right. No. The urn sometimes. The urn itself turns on and off. Yeah. Suffolk urn lakulan. So let's assume for now against the Rashbam, but for Sholach HaTchila, no one in Shabbos is going to stop pouring hot water onto their tea bags. And in Kashrus also, we're going to be machmir that Iroi is considered to be to some degree a problem. What exactly is considered to be Iroi? So if you remember when we first introduced the Sugya of Iroi, we pointed out that there was a Gemara in Psachim that talks about Ilogov and Tasogov. That was in fact the source for the whole discussion of the Rashbam about Ilogov and Tasogov, where the Gemara says that if you put top food is up to the bottom food, so whatever the status of the bottom food is, that carries the day. To sog over, the heat rises, so if the bottom food is hot, that's caused the problem. If the bottom food is cold, then everything's going to be okay. So the Rambam said, oh, from to sog over, zep from door, that Iru is not a problem. So Ben Tam said, you see nothing from nothing, because the Gemara says that it's at least a deklipa. So be deklipa, you still have to take off, which the Rambam, the Shach claims, the Rambam responded, that was Bliya's as a bishul kippah, as we spoke about in the past. So that day in Tosfos that held that Iru is Ravasha Bakulo, how is that day in Tosfos going to address that sugya in Pesach? The Moshe Tamalei, that's a sagover. Isn't every case of Iru, that's a sagover? So Tosfos said, no, it's not the same thing. Iru is not the same as the sagover. The sagover means I take a hot piece of food or a cold piece of food and I take it out of the pot and I plop it down onto another piece of food. Iru means that I'm standing with the pot and I'm pouring. So that's what's called Iru Shalom Nifsach HaKiluach. So Tosfos Zvachim writes that there's a difference between Irish and Nifsech HaKiluach and Irish and Low Nifsech HaKiluach. That's the only way to explain away that Gemara according to the Yesh Mepharshim. So now the Echaronim in Yoredei have a big machlokes. How does this play out lahalacha? Assuming that we don't pass like that Tais, we pass like Rabbeinu Tam probably, that a different way of reading that Gemara. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, would Rabbeinu Tam subscribe to that Chiluk also? Is that distinction between Irish and Nifsech versus Irish and Low Nifsech independently correct? Or was that Chiluk as good as the need for that Chiluk was? Once Rabbeinu Tam didn't need that chiluk, then the whole chiluk really is not objectively correct. So that's a big shayla lemaase in your idea. What's the din l'didon? Halacha that we accepted Rabbeinu Tam's compromise that Iroi is mevashel to some degree. Mevashel kedei klipa. What would Rabbeinu Tam? What would we say l'halacha about an Iroi shenifsecha kiluach? If the kiluach is broken, how would we deal with that? So there's a machlokes there among the Shach, just how much we're willing to accept this idea of Iroi shenifsecha kiluach as being okay. So the Ramah, in a few places, in Malicha, in Bukhav, a couple of places here and there, the Ramah seems to be saying the same pizman, that Iroi Shenifsech HaKiluach is taka nothing, that once the Kiluach is broken, that's Nishkin Iroi, that's not even any Bishul, there's nothing, no Pliyas, no Bishul, Mamish Gornish happens, when you have Iroi Shenifsech HaKiluach. And the Shach keeps on hammering away and saying it's not exactly true. The Shach says maybe it's not Mavasha, but it's the Mavliya, and the Shach says Nachamos Mavliya, Nachamos Mavliya says you can't just close your eyes for Iru, even if it's Irish Nitzach HaKiluach. So that's a big machlek is a place to be. That issue of Irish, we spoke a little bit about this by the dishwashers, right? That it could be that the Metzias of the dishwashers may be a little bit of an Irish Nitzach HaKiluach. The way the Iroi works in the spritzes, it shoots out the water against the walls of the dishwasher. By the time it hits the walls of the dishwasher, it's not a continuous flow, it's more of a spritz. So that's probably Iroi Shenifsech HaKiluach. So that would depend on this machlokes of the Ramah and the Shach. According to the Ramah, when you have Iroi Shenifsech HaKiluach, everything is gevaldik, there's nothing to worry about at all, and the Shach is machmer in that. Again, that's a shalom. But that whole machlokes emanates from this Taizen Zvachim, that they were the first ones to come up with this idea to be bechalik between the two. And the question is just how serious do we, la'alocha, who don't need that chiluk, but how serious do we take that chiluk? Right. I mean, we can kasher it anyway. Right. Maybe. Rabbi Kiveger in Simen Shin Yerches in Shabbos raises another question when we talk about issues of Iroi, both in Shabbos and in terms of kasheres. What if you have what's called Iroi Shenischal? That means you have if something is poured, I'm pouring hot water onto something, and it already hits the surface, and then it continues to flow along the surface another couple of inches, it'll hit something else. So should we say that's just an ongoing Iroi? So whatever you think Iroi is like a Rabbeinu Tam, that's vital in Iroi? Or do I say no, that Iroi is only an Iroi Kozman that it still hasn't landed. Once it lands and starts to move on its own, so that's already a different story. That's already for sure no longer considered to be any chashash of Klerishim, any dimension of Klerishim. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes Mechilim on that. We spoke about this a lot last year with the Raya from Shabbos, from the Merchatz, from the Rashi and Shabbos. But the bottom line is, it's going to have to be Shabbos. Let's say you want to make a cup of tea. So you take your tea leaves, take your tea bag, and you put it on one edge of the cup, and you pour your boiling water on the other edge of the cup, so the water hits one side of the cup, and then it kind of moseys on along the way and hits the tea leaves, so we can make a quote to svar that that's nothing. That maybe is mutl chaladeus, maybe. So other echarayim are not so sure that that's mutl. So again, that can also potentially have nafkaminas in terms of your day as well. So to sum up the whole sugya of Iroi, basically we have for us, just a little bit chazak Iroi, so we have a three-way machlokes that we show him just what exactly, how far Iroi causes problems in terms of Bishlam, in terms of Bliyas. We had a couple of unconvincing rayas from some Psachim sugyas and Zvachim sugyas. We can't quite put our fingers on how much Iroi does. We have the basic achorah of the Shach and the Shavur that Iroi is probably somewhere in the middle, like Rabbi Hatam Tavashal and Mavliya Kadei Klipa. We have the issue of whether Iroi should not kiluach, everything goes, or everything's totally mutter, like the Ramah, or maybe Bishal goes, but Bliyas is still a problem. Then you have the added question from Kivega about when you have an additional Iroi plus Nischal, does that make things better or not? So again, a lot of different possibilities, different shitas in terms of the sugya of Iroi. Continuing on in terms of Klirisha, did we spoke about ladles already? Bas B'chol, no? We never talked about the Taz Maharil, right? Yeah. We spoke about it? No, in Shabbos. I'm saying your day we didn't talk about it, right? It appears in Bas B'cholov, but I think we probably said we're going to talk about it in Tarovis. So we could be contradictory ourselves and say, but we spoke about it already in Bas B'cholov, but we're not going to do that. So talking about another issue relating to Klirisha, we spent a lot of time on last year, is as follows. Again, this is all assuming Klirisha is important. The Poskim discussed, and already the Rishonim discussed, that the following shayla. What if I have a ladle? I stick a ladle inside a pot. So does now that liquid inside the ladle, is that considered to be a Klirishon? Because the ladle itself is inside the Klirishon, so the liquid is called the Klirishon liquid. But do I say no? That the ladle is a separate independent, separate into the Kli, and therefore the ladle becomes a Kli Sheheni, and now if I move it on to something else, that's an Iroi Kli Sheheni, Kli Shlishi, Kli, whatever the number of the Kli is. So that's unclear what the din should be. So in Yeradeya, this is presented as Machlokes in the Maharil and the Taz. In the notes, I was reading over that this part was written on completely incorrectly. Didn't understand what I was talking about in terms of the ladle. I written up incorrectly, so let me try to explain it. I think hopefully it's properly. So the Maharil and the Taz were discussing the following shaila. If a person wants to kasher with Iroi, why in the world do you want to kasher with Iroi? Well, you only have a right to kasher with Iroi if the bleed is happening with Iroi. That the Gemara says. If the ma bleed benitzaita is a plate benitzaita. If it only became treif in the first place to an Iroi, then you can kasher to Iroi. So the Maharil raises the following question. If you want to kasher something with Iroi, so you want to take a giant pot off the fire and start pouring it over the things that you want to kasher. So that becomes very, very clotty. You burn yourself, spill all over the place. So it's much easier to stick the ladle in and then start pouring from the ladle all around onto those utensils that you think it's sufficient to kasher with Iroi. So can you do that or not? So the Maharil raises a question. He says, maybe that's no good, because maybe the utensil, the candle you're trying to kasher, received a bliya through Iroi Kli Rishon, and now when you're pouring out for the ladle, you're not doing Iroi Kli Rishon, you're doing an Iroi Kli Sheni, because maybe the ladle became Nefach Liyosa Kli Sheni, so now you're pouring from one step removed, and that's a problem. Kabbalah, you have to mimic exactly the level of bliya that there was. So the Maharil says, if you stuck it inside the pot, you stick the ladle inside the pot, it's not going to do the trick. You have to take the pot itself and pour the pot onto the utensils that you're trying to kasher. So then the Maharil goes on further and he says, but even though I'm claiming that the stuff inside the ladle does not become the Klirishon water, but medivah mamurim, that's if you don't leave it there long enough. But if you stick the ladle and leave it there forever, so you leave it there for a long period of time, then the water inside will become hot enough to be labeled halachically as Klirishon water. So that's the chumrah of the Maharil and the kula of the Maharil. So the Taz quotes this Maharil in Nachatim and some 30 days, and he says he doesn't understand neither the Chumra nor the Kula. He says he doesn't understand why it doesn't become a Kli Rishon right away. He says you're sticking the ladle inside the Kli Rishon, so it's right, the Kli Rishon. So you're cooking inside a lid, the ladle's in the fire. So why in the world should the water inside the soup inside the ladle not also become Nefach Lios Kli Rishon? And then subsequently it's called Iroi Kli Rishon, should be good enough to kasher with. And number two says the Taz, Naniach Imtim Tzolemi, that the Maharil is right. So then why in the world does Maharil back out depending on how long you leave the ladle? He says, well, Shemana Dov Zamiel, Rasad Rech L'Shirin. How are you ever going to know? How could there be such a luck like that? If you leave it long enough. What's about long enough? How are you going to measure what's called long enough? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So it says the Taz, if the Maharil would be right in his first statement, then he would have to extend it to no matter how long you left the ladle in. So the Taz says, leaving the ladle in, not in it, is lamal v'mayrid. The real din is it becomes kli rishon immediately. So the truth is that this machlekes in the Taz and the Maharil was really a machlekes already in Taisus. It was really a suffix in Taisus. Taisus in the second Bech of Avodah Zarah quotes this Shaila, both in terms of Kasher and Caleb, like the original case the Taz and Maru were fighting about. Taisus also quotes it vis-a-vis melichas of chickens. The din is that before you eat the chicken, before you eat meat, you gotta kasher, you gotta get all the blood out. So the halacha is that if you cook the meat, let's say I shechted it now, I shechted a chicken, and I didn't kasher yet, I cooked it by mistake. So once you cook the meat, then it's done. You can't kasher it anymore. Because once you cook it, then the blood starts spreading all over the place, because it comes dam shapirsha, and the whole thing is a problem, and the kashering is not going to get the blood out of it. That's a cloud goal. It's malicha. If you cook before you kasher, you're cooked. You're done. You're finished. Now, it's only going to be dam shabishlo, which according to many mishamas only do rabban anyway, but again, it's still going to be also fine. So the Tosfos quotes Masechet Avodah Zarah practice. There used to be a big issue in the days of the Rishon Tzlion issue today, is that when you shech the chicken, so you want to be able to remove all the feathers before you kasher the meat. So you're going to remove the feathers, it's going to pluck them feather by feather. So apparently, if you cook up the chicken first, soften the skin first, it's much, much easier to pluck the feathers off. So I imagine the goyim, when they want to pluck chickens, so first they throw them to a tub of hot water, so they soften the skin, it makes it much easier, and they can pluck the chickens. The problem is for us, we can't do that, because you have to get the chickens off, you get the feathers off before you can kasher the meat, but you can't get them off through hot water, because that's going to be that's going to make it impossible to kasher the meat. So you have to come up with some kind of an eitzah to get these feathers off. So the Rishonim came up with different eitzahs. So some of the Rishonim said, well, throw the chickens into a klisheni. If you cook into a klisheni, well, what's the big deal? So that after Allah, it's not mevashel the blood. So again, assuming there's no bishul of klisheni, right? Maybe there's no bishul of klisheni, so the blood's not mevashel, and it's going to do the trick. It'll be very hot water, and it's going to do the trick physically without running to a problem halachically. So different eitzahs that the Rishonim discussed. So one of the eitzahs that Tosfos quotes in Masechet Avodah Zarah is pouring hot water onto the chickens. Rather than throwing the chickens into a pot of water, pouring hot water onto the chickens. So Tosfos says, wait, not so simple. If you start to pour hot water onto the chicken, so then this is going to depend upon who and who? Yes, depend upon Irik Levisham. It's going to depend upon the Machlaikis Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. And then Tosfos, if you hold that Ira is not mevashel at all, then this is a benetza. If you hold that Ira is mevashel, if it's mevashel b'kulo, you trafed up the whole chicken. If you hold it for a minute time, it was trafed up at least part of the chicken. It's part trafed up the klipa of the chicken. Maybe the klipa is the feathers, maybe not. It starts to get complicated. So Tosfos starts raising the possibility that maybe what you should do is rather than pouring the water directly from the pot onto the chicken, maybe you should stick a ladle into the pot and pour from that onto the chicken. So Tosfos is not so sure. So Tosfos throws the hands up. And Tosfos says, you know, we just raised the question, what the status of the ladle is. We just raised the shayla vis-a-vis kashering, and we just raised the shayla vis-a-vis the chickens, and we're not sure what the answer is. So if the answer is that the ladle becomes like a kli rishon, it's like the taz comes like a kli rishon, that's going to be good in the world of kashering, it's going to be bad in the world of chickens. If the Maharil is right, that's not really a kli rishon, so then that's going to be great in the world of chickens and bad in the world of kashering. So Tosfos says, we don't know who's right. I mean, they predated both the Maharil and the Taz. The Balei Taisim says, Nestapka, we're not sure what the din is, so therefore, we have to tell people neither to kasher chickens that way, nor to kasher the kelim this way, because we just don't know what's the din. We're just not sure what the status of a ladle is. So we kind of throw our hands up following the Balei Taisim and say, we're talking not sure. We don't really know what the status of the ladle is. Does the ladle really become kli rishon? Not become kli rishon, it's hard to tell. This, of course, once again, is a plays out significantly in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, because in Hilchos Shabbos, there are many things that we're obviously not going to do in a Kli Rishon. There are actually many things we're not going to want to do in a Kli Sheni either, because of Kali Abishal issues, because of Derabanan issues. So we're very weary to cook things in Kli Shenis. We're a little bit more confident when we do certain things in Kli Shlishis. One of the few things that we're okay with for sure in Kli Shlishi is in the Shibur quotes in the Prima Gun, you can put Chal into a Kli Shlishi. Even though, as we spoke about this in the past, according to Rebbe Lazmi Mitz, the Shalav Deraisa, Bishlach Rafia, and it's a Shalav Kali Abishal, but both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah strongly recommend not to put Chal into your soup on Shabbos, or not to put matzah in when it's Shabbos either. Even people who, this year was a big, you know, letdown for the people who were waiting the whole week to put the matzah into their soup. So Achron Shepesach was Friday night, so it's hard to do that. Unless they could have pulled off a stunt. if they're Makabel Shabbos early, so I gave a whole shiur about this in the last day of Pesach. If you're Makabel Shabbos early this past year, it's been last week, if you're Makabel Shabbos early on Friday afternoon, can you eat Gebracht or not? According to those who don't eat Gebracht the whole week, can you eat Gebracht during that small window of opportunity of the Sefer Shabbos? You say that the Sefer Shabbos means that's not Pesach anymore. So I said on a more serious note, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're Makabel Shabbos early this week, can you eat Chametz? If you can get chametz, can your mamash eat chametz then? Do you have a right to say that the Sefer Shabbos means that mamash the day is over? So there's a Taz of Chasukah that says that once you makabel Shemini Atzeres, it's Oy Sukkos anymore. If you live in Chutzlot, it doesn't make a difference. You have to eat in the Sukkah anyway. But the Pashas and the Taz is, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, then you wouldn't have to eat in the Sukkah anymore. That's the Pashas and the Taz. Because the Taz says the same Torah that says Besukos Teish Shivas Yom is the same Torah that says there's a mitzvah to Sefes. So once I'm following what the Rebbeinu Shem said, I'm making it to Sefes, that means it's Oy Sukkos anymore. It's no longer the previous day. So according to that smart, what's the difference whether you talk about the mitzvah essay of Sukkah or you talk about the Yisakaris of the Chametz? So I thought that according to that Taz, it should be Mutam. Maybe Kabbalah Shabbos early, so you can eat Chametz last week during that interim period of time. I didn't say that Lamaisa for anybody. I was just contemplating that in a Shia. So I thought that maybe if that Taz is correct, so maybe at least vis-a-vis Gebracht, maybe you can realize there's a sphinx faker. Maybe the Taz is right, maybe he's not right, and even if he's wrong, maybe the Misnagdim are right. Maybe it's not Chametz. Maybe it's only Cheshash no Chametz. It was a joke. Everyone laughed.
It's a Shabbat Tosat, no?
Tosat, Shabbat Tosat.
Wouldn't it be a Shabbat Tosat then?
Please.
You want it to daf eat it, if you daf
it, no? But he's talking about in chutzpah, but making a bracha. That's the original Taz is talking about. If you makabel yontif early, you can eat in the sukkah without making a bracha. So he says, yeah, you don't make a bracha, because sukkah is over. Shmini Yetzeres, that's not sukkah.
Really,
so he wasn't talking about Eretz Yisrael, huh? But if you would be in Eretz Yisrael,
he's not sure how that would help the people who don't eat the brachos if they're Makabel Shabbos early.
Yeah, no, it's a joke. It was the whole thing was a joke. Makabel Shabbos early, so then
it's
maybe.
Not a problem putting
right. Unless you want to say that the only reason why the Iran was mach because it was a chashash of chatas. Chashan of chatas. And Tosefer Shabbos is only an assay, it's not a chatas. Maybe. So maybe it's that interim means it's no longer Pesach, but it's not yet Shabbos. I remember, I think it was not this year, I think it was two Rosh Hashanahs ago. When was Rosh Hashanah was also on a Thursday and Friday 2 years ago, I think. Whatever it was. Last year, whatever it was. So my youngest daughter asked me on like Friday afternoon, is there any time that she can draw pictures? She said she knows it's Rosh Hashanah now, she knows it's going to be Shabbos tomorrow, but is there any time in the middle where it's not Rosh Hashanah, not Shabbos? Because she hasn't drawn anything in 2 days. So Blima wanted to know, can we find any time in the interim? So I was thinking, let's go with Shiloh, but I don't think it's going to help. Kabbalah Shabbos is probably not going to help the truth. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So, when it comes to putting soup in the bread into the soup on Shabbos, so the Primogadim, the Mishmukot, the Primogadim says that's Klishlishi Zolzayin. So the later Achronim have a Shaila, the contemporary posting of a Shaila, well, what we qualify as a Klishlishi for these purposes? What if it's a Klishlishi Derech Ladles, which is 99% of the time? Because usually when you sit down to have a bowl of soup on the table, so your bowl of soup is a Klishlishi Derech Ladles. It was cooked in the pot, and now it was ladled out, and then it was poured from the ladle into your bowl. So if you hold, like the Maharil, that the ladle became automatically klisheni, so then your bowl of soup is a klishlishi. If you hold like the Taz, that your ladle became oisa, came nochem al klishon, then your bowl is vayta klisheni, where the mechabner will both say not to put things in. So how much do we have a right to be makel on this? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be makel on this shayla. That's what we pointed out last year. There are stevers of Mishnah Berurahs. Because in one place the Mishnah Berurah says we should not be makel on the machlokes Taz and the Maharil. When it comes to the bread, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be makel, unless you want to argue that because here there are so many other sveikis, so many other tzadim l'hokel, there's already so much chumra, there's going to be chumra, the whole Rebbe Elazar, the mitzvah chumra, the whole kali abishul is a chumra, so maybe there's like too many chumras piled up together. So maybe the Mishnah Berurah is willing to be maker like the Maharil vis-a-vis the Shaila. If that's the case, then the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos is over the fact that, but what if you leave the ladle in for a long time? So then even the Maharil is not going to be maker on that. So if you hold that the whole reason for the kula of the Mishnah Berurah is because he's willing to get Kedai Maharil is Meichelov, but zero for all these other Chumras, so then maybe that only applies as far as the Maharil will go. But if the Maharil himself is made that it's in for a long time, that's what the Shmir Shabbos says. So others are even more makel than that. We quoted last year from the Chavis Das, right? He says it's only what? Yeah, then we quote from the Chazanish. It's only if you stick a ladle into a Kli Rishon, right? We're only at Kavi Eish. The Chazanish had a Chiddush, but maybe the Homachlek is the Taz the Maharil. The only time anyone would say it becomes a Kli Rishon is only if you stuck it in al Gabi Eish. But if you already took the pot off the fire, which you do most of the time, most people don't serve from off the fire because of other Hagasa, cold bowl issues. So anyway, the pots are going to be off the fire. So says the Chaznish, maybe nobody holds that the label becomes a Klivisha at that point. So we were Malamed Tzchus last year. We spent a lot of time with Malamed Tzchus and those people who put bread into their soup on Shabbos. But those who want to be Machmir, so don't put bread into their soup on Shabbos. Yeah. Is that a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not mentioned in the
right. So there is the Sefer Yerayim actually mentions the idea of a Kli Shlishi. The first one, but he's one of the first ones. So that's the question: does it exist? So there are other some posts, the Rav and Chaznish has a tzal like this that has said the reason why nobody mentioned it is because it doesn't exist. Kli Shani means Kli Shani and everything else. And Rav Moshe thought that Kli Shlishi had to go. Kli Shlishi is better than everything. It's whatever you can do whatever you want in a Kli Shlishi. So it's not clear exactly. I don't know, Mishmur quotes it, but he only quotes it in a very, very limited. The only place Mishmur really quotes Kli Shlishi is by this one crazy case of the bread and the soup, which anyway has a half dozen other kulas. So we don't know what the Mishmur say, but Mamish raw things. But people want to put pepper into their soup. So pepper is Mamish, was never in his bashil. So that would be maybe a problem. Unless it's Nechuk Moshe Chai, maybe. Another story. Okay, anyway, back to your day. So Rabbi Sai, so again, everything we've been talking about for the last couple of Shiurim is all assuming that we really, really care about Kli Rishon. We're not even sure that we care about Kli Rishon altogether, but we make care about Kli Rishon. So therefore, it was important for us to talk about these nuances of what's considered to be Kli Rishon. The next thing that appears in Simon Kufay is really a throwback to what we did speak about in Bas B'chol, so maybe just a recap the Rosh Hashanah for now. But the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the sugyas in Yira Nosha, that even though tzani b'tzani is b'hadocha, that's true, and you need heat to pose a problem, but not all heat are created equal. There's the heat of bishul, there's the heat of tzli. Bishul is not just heat. Bishul is rota, is liquids, which spread, permeate the taste. Whereas tzli is just two dry pieces of food next to each other in an oven, on a grill or something, so that's not considered to be as serious of a problem. How not serious is it a problem? So that's unclear in the Gemara. So the Gemara had that famous line, and the Gemara says that Yerushan is Basha Begit. The Mishnah is Yerushan is Basha Begit poses a problem. Okay, we pass it against that Mishnah anyway, because we pass it in Begit in the same time. It's always good to remember that. But the Gemara says that even according to the Tana, Yesh Begit in the same time, Loshan Ershan is Basha. Well, Nitzlabono, if it's just Gita Nosha was roasted together with the regular kosher part of the meat, so Nishkefer, it's not so terrible. Everything's fine. Not everything's fine, but it's almost fine. How little do you have to remove? So that's what we had Tosis was pondering this issue in Perek Yedanosha. They weren't sure quite how far you have to remove. So Tosis quotes some Gemaras that seem to say you have to remove a klipa, and then Tosis quotes other Gemaras that seem to say you have to remove Kedema Tila, and a Tila is a little bit. Right? We spoke, just before sure spoke about, right? Okay, so yeah, Tosis threw out the possibilities whether you have to take off Kedema Tila, Kedema Klipa, etc., back and forth. So we weren't exactly sure about what the answer to that question was. Then, to make matters even more complicated, the Gemara says that sometimes you can have a case of tzli that is worse than regular tzli. That's if you have what's called mefapea. So the Gemara says, shayne chel mefapea, when you have an oozing, fatty kind of a food, so then that spells trouble. You have an oozy kind of fatting food, so then that asas bakul. That's almost like cooking. So then the Gemara had a further qualification of that. The Gemara said, well, that's only true if it's certain kinds of fatty foods, but if it's chelif kochush, then it's not so bad. So we had a machlekes and rishonim. What was the significance of chelif kochush? Well, some rishonim said, easy come, easy go. It's not fatty. It's not oozing. It's chelif, but it doesn't have that physical quality, that characteristic of being mefapeya. Other rishonim said, no, that's of course one possibility, that chelif kochush means that it's not so much chelif, and therefore it's going to be bottled b'shishim. So this was a whole question to Rishonim, this idea that even a davar mefapeya is mamish like bishul, bein l'kula bein l'chumra. That means it poses problems, it traces up everything, and it can be misharet b'shishim. So we had a ra'ah, remember way back to Bas B'chol, we quoted a ra'ah, who says no, that mefapeya causes problems, but shishim is not going to solve the problems for mefapeya, because you never really know the degree of piyapua. Whatever that word is. When you cook something in a pot, so there's liquid, there's gravy, there's regular bishul, then we know that the standard ratio, everything diffuses equally, and therefore if you have shishim, you're home free. When you have mefapeya causes you trouble, but it doesn't necessarily cause you solutions. So we really don't know what the rate of spreading is, and therefore shishim is never going to solve the problems. You have to always be concerned that you have a problem. So we don't really pass it like the Ra'ah. We pass it Mikra Din, that whenever things in Mefapeya, so Mikra Din, they're really okay. That everything is really okay. I mean, it's okay if you have shishim. how much does this translate for us lemaisa? So the there are more quotes. We have a tradition. The Ashkenazim have a tradition that we have a tradition that we don't know what the tradition is. Namely, we have no idea what is mefapeh, not mefapeh. Everything is also everything is a chashash and mefapeh. So what it all translates to mean is whenever you have a tzli, so then we cannot just hide behind tzli and say no big deal, just take off the klipa, take off the netil and call it a day. Everything is a chashash and mefapeh. However, the later poskim in Ramon, the Gra, others point out that doesn't mean that we have a right to say, well, everything is mefapel the kula, and therefore everything's butter if you have shishim. No, we don't really know what's mefapel and what's not mefapel. So you have to take the worst of both worlds. Anytime you have a shot of tzli, you have to assume it asas bekulo, but then you have to also take off the klipas and heels, whatever the amount that you want to take off is, because maybe it wasn't mefapel bekulo. If it wasn't mefapel bekulo, so then you don't really have shishim here. Then you only have an isser on the point of contact. The point of contact, you don't have shishim. So we, who live in a world of Einan and Bikiyim, we have, tzli is worse than Bishul. Bishul is terrible because it asas bekulo, but it's great because if you know you have shishim, so then just everything's mutter. Tzli is now has the worst of both worlds because it's asas bekulo like Bishul, but it doesn't permit you to rely on shishim because you have a problem. So at the end of the day, whatever happens, anytime there are things that are heated together, whether they're Bishul, they're tzli, for us Ashkenazim, we're going to be in trouble.
The Ramah does use the language, anything that has
shamnunis. Right, that's the poskim say, that if it's something that's absolutely no shamnunis whatsoever. I tell you the truth, I have never had a shamnunis, not shamnunis shayla. No one ever asked me a shayla. They were barbecuing a piece of chazer on the same grill as the piece of meat at the same time. They went over the shamnunis and that. You're right. The Lashon Ramah is that, not everything. There's one last akuda that comes up in the sugya of tzli and bishul. Again, we spent most of the time we spoke about tzli and bishul back in Bas B'cholav. There's one thing that comes up in the sugya of tzli and bishul where the Gemara talks about a case where they by mistake roasted together a kulya b'chalva. They forgot to remove the chalav off of the kidneys. The Gemara says, no, it's not so terrible. There's a lot of chalav there. There's a krum hamafsik, that the chalav is surrounded by some kind of a membrane that prevents the chalav from oozing out, from spreading out. So the simple meaning of that Gemara is that if you have really a davar mafsik, then there's nothing to worry about. So the Ramah already points out that there are some Mishanim who don't quote that Gemara, who said maybe we don't pass like that Gemara. It was only one of three answers in the Gemara. Maybe we don't accept it. Maybe we're chumras minhagim not to rely on the krum mafsik. We're afraid the krum is going to rip. Reasons, but we don't like to rely on that. So we quoted this when we spoke about coverings, that the poskim are a little bit weary to rely on covering pots. You know, we spoke about this in ovens. That you always have to be afraid that maybe the covering is going to rip. So if you want to rely on coverings, you should really, really cover it very, very well to make sure that it doesn't rip. So we try to avoid this idea of kromafsik, even though we did it in Gemara, it sounds like it would be okay, but some Rishonim will don't quote it. So therefore, we have a practice to try to avoid it whenever we don't really have to rely on it, but it's here for other things. Okay. So again, a major theme that we've still been talking about is Siman Kufei, in terms of the heat necessary, in terms of transferring from one thing to another. So we have still a couple more, a little bit of odds and ends left of Kufei. A lot of Kufei we already did in the past. Chaticha is coming up, so we'll maybe just refer to some of the Rashi Prachim that we spoke about in Bas Mechalav and then try to move on a little bit. So I think in terms of the next Simonim, so I think Kuvav, who's got, anyone got I think Kuvav and Kuvzayin, anyone got the sheet on them? What's the matter with Kuvav and Kuvzayin? Right, I think we didn't even do it last time. Here we go. Don't forget also Nimtz of the Socha.